from up here, you can't tell if it's, if the microphone's on or not, because you just hear your own self. So,
come on, I'm excited to be with you guys today. Man, what a good time of worship.
I just felt the presence of the Lord here, man. I just want to pray, and then I'll get started on some stuff. Father, I just thank you, Jesus, for this church, for the pulse, Lord God, here and now. Lord, I just ask, God, that you would pour out your spirit. Lord God, I ask for clear vision, clear insight, clarity into what it is that you are speaking, what you're saying. God, I ask that you would just fill the hearts and minds of the people with the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of you, God. Enlighten the eyes of their understanding, Jesus, Lord, that you would show them what the inheritance is that you have in the saints, that you have in us, and the power that you have extended towards us. Lord God, that we are able to move in and we are commissioned to move in. Lord God, it's you who challenges us, and we just look to your word right now, God. I just ask that you would illuminate the word today, let the word dwell richly within us. God, let the word dwell richly within us, and let us respond to what your word would say. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on. Hallelujah. Man, it's been a while since I've been with you guys. Excited to be in here. Man, I like the new decorations. They look wonderful. Yes, come on. So my wife, my daughter, and my son weren't able to come, partly because Obadiah is 3 years old. I mean, 3 months old. Years, not years. He might jump. He might be jumping, though, because he's 3 months old and he's in nine-month clothing. Woo! I call him my little hunk. Every morning, a hunk of burning love. Yes, so they aren't able to be here, but my wife, Sarah, she says that she really is sad that she wasn't able to come, just navigating all of the different stuff and travel with that young of a baby and a 2.5-year-old. It's a little interesting, so haven't quite started having everybody in the family start traveling again yet since the birth of Obadiah. So thankful for him. So we lead a ministry called West Virginia Prayer Alliance. You guys remember that? Yes. So West Virginia Prayer Alliance, how many of you know that there has been some crazy stuff happening in our nation, right? And the nations of the earth, right? All across the world, there has been a lot of craziness going on. And whenever we first heard everything start, like they were going to be shutting stuff down, closing stuff up with COVID-19 in response to COVID-19, and we first heard that, this is just a little update, this isn't necessarily the message. This doesn't count as my time, just kidding, just kidding. But anyway, so in response to that, we said, okay, there needs to be hope, the hope and light of Jesus shining in this time, because there's more darkness being pushed forth on media. There's more confusion being pushed forth on media than anything else right now. And we were just moved by this, and we just said, okay, let's call the state. Let's call people all across the state to come together to worship and to pray. I don't know if you guys were able to see any of it online. But we started doing 12 hours a day of worship and prayer, Monday through Friday. Had gospel proclamation going on our Facebook page, on West Virginia Prayer Alliance Facebook page. We had 12 hours a day from people all across the state. And so in the first 2 weeks, we reached 40,000 people with the hope and light of Jesus. I just thought that was an amazing, yeah. I thought that was an amazing thing. We had 20,000 interactions, like people commenting and interacting with us on those posts, which was an even bigger deal to me, because sometimes whenever you see the reach, it's just like a 3-second reach type thing. You don't have any way to know how long somebody sat there and watched it. But whenever somebody's 30 minutes into it and they make a comment, it's like, hey, they're 30 minutes into this thing, you know? You know, so being able to see stuff like that really encouraged my heart, and seeing people not just like right there at the beginning of the posts, but throughout the entire prayer set, the entire worship set, being able to interact. And now we then took a step to doing 7 hours a day. And now that we've transitioned back to things opening back up, we're building something that's going to be sustainable. We're looking to do 12 to 1 Monday through Friday, praying for two different regions each day. So we're asking people across the state of West Virginia to join us on Facebook. Make it part of your lunch hour where you can listen to it and pray along with us. We're going to make the continue growing the prayer culture in the state and just make it a simple opportunity to where somebody can just join in, watch, be able to pray, be able to pray with us. We actually are doing a Zoom call. We have somebody leading worship and then a couple people leading prayer for the regions and a few of us on this, and then we're able to push that Zoom call to Facebook Live so you can watch it on our Facebook page. But awesome things going on there. Very excited about what has taken place, and even just in the midst of crisis, whenever we're shining the hope and light of Jesus, man, so just to give you a broader picture of it than just what's going on our page, we're connected to what's called the Appalachia Prayer Center. That's our covering for the West Virginia Prayer Alliance. They have a vision for all of Appalachia that the flame of intercession would never go out, and they would have prayer alliances in each state, right? So there's 12 states in Appalachia. We had, during this time, we had our first event where all 12 states were represented. Actually, not only 12 states, but 17 states were represented. Taking communion together in response. And at that same time, somebody was at the county seat of every single county in West Virginia taking communion. What's at the county seats? Every parcel of land is at the county seats. We were claiming dominion with the blood of Jesus, the blood and body of Jesus. Just a powerful thing that took place. It was on Good Friday. We felt like we were supposed to do that. And As we've done that, we've also seen, like I said, the other states partner with, but we've seen other states also then see what we were doing on our Facebook page and then saying, hey, we want to do something like that. Look, and then there's one in Florida. There's a few different places all across our nation that are doing this. And then there's other things going on too. We're not the only people doing this, but it's just it's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing that we're putting action to it, and we're taking the step to see prayer lifted up in this time. How many know that it's so much better to see prayer lifted up than fear and anxiety? Right? We got to leave that moment of fear and anxiety and dwelling in what's going on in our minds. And as the scripture says, take every thought captive and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind on the word of God and in prayer, intercession. Oh, Lord, we see what's going on there. Oh, Lord, I'm just so afraid that something might happen here. No, I see what's going on there. Lord, we just ask for healing. We ask for hope. We ask for life to come into this region. We are praying for this region. Lord, we're praying for Seattle. Lord, we're praying for all these different places across our nation right now that are lit up. Come on, we're praying for them. Lord, that your will would come and be done in those places in Jesus' name. Right? Come on. So yeah, there's prayer going on. Just wanted to let you guys know that. There's prayer going on. And we lead a prayer ministry, and I just wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit more about prayer. So today the message actually is on prayer. So prayer, you hear the little, the Sunday school explanation of prayer is talking with God, right? Prayer is talking with God. I would say it's deeper, but it's also that simple. You know, there is a deeper understanding of it. There's more intentionality that can be had and that we should grow in. But at the same time, it is just that simple. It's communication. The Lord didn't say that we had to approach him in any certain, you know, rhetoric, with any certain rhetoric saying like, hey, I got to say these things and then this prayer will be answered, and say this stuff and this thing will be answered. It's coming with a contrite heart, ready to do whatever it is that he would say, right? You know, so that's prayer. Prayer is also intimacy with the Lord. You know, the bowls of intercession, that incense, the oil of incense. You know, many times whenever you see in Scripture, it's this comparative understanding of that's the intimacy. You see the virgins, right? The 10 virgins. Some had oil in their lamp and some did not. That oil that is to burn, that was nearness to God and intimacy with God. And our prayer life is our intimacy with the Lord. If our prayer life is struggling, we can read every book. We can read anything that we want. We can even just know so much about this, about the Bible. But just knowing about it is not what Jesus purchased for us, right? Jesus purchased an intimate relationship with us. He wants to know us. He wants us to know Him. And then through knowing Him, this comes to life. This comes to life. Man, it's so much better. Man, I love the Word. Love the Word of God. And I love to pray the Word of God. There's many scriptures in this Bible that are actually prayers just written out. They're just prayers written out that you can then say. And how many know that whenever you're speaking the Word of God, it's so much more than what I could come up with in my mind, right? Man, yeah. So knowing Lord, getting intimate with Him, knowing Him, and that His heart is this, and then the Word comes to life. There's also a necessity of supplication. Earlier, whenever I was singing about that it's a reference from the book of Revelation where it's in the throne room, and it says that Jesus was the one who was slain, that purchased with His blood, by His blood purchased us to be priests unto His name. What does that mean? Man, a few weeks back, I've read that so many times. I've studied that so many times. And like I've been moved on it so many times. But like, you know how like sometimes it's just like there's a revelation. Wow. Now it just clicks. Well, that just happened for me to be right before I was going live on one of our prayer sets. So it's just like, boom. So I'm just weeping, snotting, in tears. And I'm like, I've still got to go live. And I'm just like having this, like I said, just that moment of intimacy where I'm seeing more about Jesus, recognizing something new about Him, that it's by His blood. He saw it so worthy that He shed every bit of His blood for this, that I would be a priest unto Him. Lord, I don't even know what that means all the way. Teach me what it means. It means to stand in supplication, to cry out. You know, whenever you're looking at the priests, the high priestly ministry, whenever you're looking at what the priests did in the Old Testament, what did they do? They were the mediator between God and man, and they would make the sacrifice. They would make the sacrifice for the remission of sins for the people, right? They would sacrifice the lamb, the bull, the dove. They would sacrifice all the different things. All of this was going on. That was their priestly duty. Now that sacrifice has been made, what are we to do as priests? We're still to mediate between the people and to cry out for the will of the Lord to be done. It's necessary for us to cry out to see the will of the Lord come to earth as it is in heaven. Because He taught us to pray that way, right? The disciples said, teach us to pray. Our Father is in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It continues, but just in that part right there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us to pray that way. He said, pray that the will of the Lord would come. That's why I say that it's necessary to intercede, to cry out on behalf of other people. So what is interceding, supplication, interceding? That's standing in the gap between one and another, right? Does that make it simple enough?
It's like recognizing, hey, this person receives this judgment. The judge is standing here, is getting ready to do it, and then you come up and you say, but I have this other piece of evidence. Right? I have this other piece of evidence. And you share that piece of evidence, and it sets this person free. Right? Does that make sense? Not losing anybody? So I'm setting this person free with this extra piece of evidence. So what we're saying is, whenever I'm asking you guys to intercede, is to set people free with that extra piece of evidence, with the knowledge of Jesus, right? Woo! Come on. So there's people in your own city that need set free. And part of it, part of them being set free, not the only thing, but part of them being set free, is your supplication, your prayers. It's necessary if we want to see the will of the Lord released over our state, over our region, over our community. It's necessary for us to pray. Right? Come on. It won't happen without it. Oswald Chambers, has anybody heard the name before? Yes, so Upmost for His Highest. Yes, wonderful daily devotional. I believe it's on October 17th. I could be wrong, the morning. I wrote it down a long time ago, but it's been a long time since I've looked at the date reference. Look that up. October 17th, he says in it that prayer doesn't prepare you for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It doesn't set you up to be able to do it. It doesn't set you up to be able to do it. To do something great. It is the great thing. As you pray, the Lord responds. Sometimes that response is empowering to do something else. But it never would have started without you praying. We think it's in something that we're achieving. But really it's us humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, will you please do this? Lord, will you forgive? Will you set free? Lord, will you do this? And recognizing that that power then flows through us to be able to see it take place as we are submitted to Him. Prayer is the key. Prayer is that key. It is the greater thing. It is the greater thing. All right? Yes, so as we're continuing to look at that, also one thing before I kind of start unpacking this is prayer is our partnership with Jesus, right? It's our partnership with Jesus. Where is Jesus at right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the one who ever lives to make intercession. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and what's he doing that entire time? He's interceding. He's saying, Father, this person over here, Father, Cody, he needs some of my grace. I'm going to give it to him. Lord, he's saying, Father, the nations are raging right now. The nations are going wild. The U.S., there's stuff, crazy stuff going on. There's a pandemic going on across the nations right now. There's people dying. Lord, Father, would you? Jesus is living, ever living to do this, right? Constantly, constantly interceding on behalf of every single one of us. Our great high priest, who doesn't grow weary of it. Oh, man, let that wash over you. Who doesn't grow weary of it. Every time I need his supplication, he doesn't grow weary of it. Woo! Come on. He doesn't grow weary of praying for me. He doesn't grow weary of it, of interceding for me. And it's something that he's always going to continue doing. Lord, that they would experience more of you. That they would see more of you. There's always more. There's always more to God. There's always more. You know, so being able to see this, it's our partnership with Jesus. As we intercede, we're partnering with Him, the great intercessor, our great high priest. And we're saying, Lord, that you would do this. We're partnering with Him. And He's saying, Yeah, I've already been praying for that. Come on, I've already been praying for the person down your street that just lost their child, that, you know, I've already been praying for them. And as you pray, you're releasing my will into the earth. You're releasing my will. It's necessary, right? It's necessary for us to cry out. It's also our pleasure and our joy to partner with Jesus. It is our pleasure and our joy. Oh, man. Yes. So I want to start just in Daniel chapter 10. Do you have your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Oh, come on. So this is the prayer that brings heavenly attention, right? There's something that happens whenever Jesus prays, whenever Daniel prays here. Sorry, I said Jesus. It's Daniel praying. Oh, we're just going to read verse 12, and then I'll go back and I'll read a little bit of the surrounding passage. In verse 12 it says, "Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourselves before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Whew, I'm going to read that one more time. "Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Whew. I've come because of your words. So what's happening right here? If you haven't read this passage before, like I said, I'm going to go back and read it here in just a second. But what's happening right here is Daniel is seeing this holy angelic figure that's come and visited him, that's come before him, right? He's seeing this in front of him. And this angelic figure says to him, "I have come because of your words." What kind of words was he speaking? What kind of words was he speaking? If that would even... Lord, teach me those kind of words, right? Teach me those kind of words. That whenever I pray, I see the angelic visitation, but I'm going to take it even deeper than that, even greater than that, as I read this passage. In verse 2, it says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks." You get the Daniel fast, right? That's where we get the Daniel fast. "I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for 3 full weeks. For the full 3 weeks, which is bathing." That's a part that we miss in the Daniel fast, right? Nobody needs to do that. So he didn't wash himself or anoint himself or clean himself for 3 weeks either. He was actually, there's another major point that we miss in this, that mourning. It's not just about, "Lord, I'm not eating this," but it's mourning, saying, "Lord, God, I need a move. I need understanding. I'm broken. And that's why I'm fasting right now." Changing it from a nice diet, a nice church diet. Everybody in the church goes on a nice diet together. I mean, I've had great encounters whenever I've truly been doing it more like a diet than anything. Had great times with the Lord. Not saying that the Lord can't move. I'm just saying that we've missed something in this, whenever we don't see that there also is mourning that Daniel's having. And that have that expectation, "Lord, that my heart would mourn." Yes. Extra tidbit. Get that one for free. Come on.
In verse 4, it says, On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the banks of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like gleaming of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. It continues, and I encourage you to continue reading at a later point, but I'm just going to just go over this with you. So what's happening right here? He's in this place of mourning, encounter, crying out for the Lord. He had just seen a vision that he needed understanding for. He had been praying. He started out this 21 days with a prayer. And this prayer then had angelic response. And I will say to you even that Christ himself was visiting Daniel. There's a theological term called a Christophany. It's whenever Christ shows up in the Old Testament, right? Before he revealed himself on the earth. Whenever Christ showed up in the Old Testament, whenever it says the angel of the Lord, and it shows his appearance as being a burning one, with eyes of fire, right? Whenever you see this throughout the Old Testament, it's what theologians call a Christophany. It's seeing Christ show up. And this is one of those pictures. And just to help you understand even more, let's open up to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 18, 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. This is John. Then I turned to see the voice who was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in the furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. It continues, but man, the same response that Daniel has, right? He sees this one with fire in his eyes, mighty voice, and then he falls, all of his strength is taken out of him, he falls to the ground as though he's dead. Oh man, when we see Jesus, he undoes everything, right? Come on.
Whew. So Daniel is seeing this. So let's look at John just for a second. John was the one that Jesus loved, right? That laid his head on Jesus' bosom whenever he was here on the earth, right? John knew Jesus. John knew him very well. He was very intimate with Jesus. And then, whenever he gets to the heavenly encounter, whenever how many know the book of Revelation is actually the book of the revelation of Jesus? That's the full title. It's not just the book of Revelation. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus. John is having a revelation of Jesus. So, in this, John, the one who knew Jesus so well, he gets caught up, and then he's set before Jesus, and he says, oh, and he hits the ground as though he's dead, right? I'm seeing something so much more than what I thought I knew. I thought I knew you. And he's undone so much that he falls to the ground as though he's dead. Not just like, oh, I'm gonna get down and worship. No, he's like, my heart stopped. I didn't have any thought going through me because I was overwhelmed with thought and just completely taken over. Like I had nothing left to be able to think, and therefore I fell to the ground. Right? Does that make sense? That's somebody dying, right? Yeah. So he falls to the ground as though he's dead, and then Jesus, the one who loves him, the one that Jesus that loved John, comes up, puts his right hand on his shoulder, and says, it's okay. You're just seeing something new of me. You haven't seen it before. There's so much more. Stand up. I'm going to show you. And then he starts showing him his plan. He starts showing him this beautiful plan. Whew. You know, in the book of Daniel, it's that same plan. It's that same plan being exposed. The book of Daniel has so much towards eschatology and the things that are going to happen in the future. It's that same plan that was being exposed that Jesus then responded to as Daniel saw it, was undone, and started mourning and weeping to understand and know, what does this mean? And then he starts praying. And back to Daniel chapter 10, it says, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you have set your heart to understand. That's the first part. He set his heart to understand what he had seen. The second part, and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. He set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself. And in doing that, he says, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. You know, Daniel's prayer life is one that's really impacted me throughout the years. And his prayer life is one that's challenged me because we see the encounter moments, right? We see him, the mouths of the lions shut. We see an encounter like this, where, if you will, Christ himself even showed up to him before he was manifest here on the earth, right? Like, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. You don't see that happening a lot throughout Scripture. Especially with that much detail, to where you can say, like, okay, I can see where that's a reality. That's him. That's the one with eyes of fire. The one with gold around his waist. That's him. Legs and arms like burnished bronze. That's him. Both encounters, right? You're seeing this? Let that challenge your heart. If you haven't ever heard that before, let's go deeper in the Word of God, right? Test it, see if it's approved. But in the midst of that, he's having these encounters, but how many of you know it wasn't just because of that one prayer, right? It wasn't just because of that one prayer
that he was heard. This was something that he had built as a custom. Whenever the edict went out, you remember the story of the lion's den, right? They set up a plan to be able to say that they would only be able to pray, and they couldn't pray to any other god, and they knew that Daniel, the only thing that he did that was that he would not move upon and that he was above reproach, the only thing that could catch him in was that he prayed to his God 3 times a day. They knew this about him. One, they knew that it was something that he did. And then another part of that is whenever he heard that the edict went out, that you could not pray to any other god, right? Whenever he heard this, it says that he went up into his upper room. He went up into his upper room, as was his custom. Yeah, as was his custom. Whew. It was just this understanding of, man, that's a big deal going on in his nation at that point, right? People are going to die and be thrown into a lion's den. Pretty big deal. Those lions were fierce and hungry. He was thrown in, and none of them touched him because of his intimacy with the Lord, his daily going before the Lord, even whenever it wasn't, there wasn't the edict out, even whenever that wasn't going on. After it, just to prove the point, those 200 straps that accused him of all of this stuff, over 200 straps that accused him of this, they were all thrown into that same lion's den with their families. They and their families were all thrown in, and they were all devoured before they hit the ground. That proves how fierce those lions were, right? Like, that was a big deal. That was a big lion's den to be able to take in that many people. You know, they were all devoured and crushed before they hit the ground. Whew. So Daniel's in a pretty scary place. It's not like this empty chamber that the lions happened to be way over there and the Lord just set it down his hand and they couldn't see Daniel. No, he was there in the midst of them, right? Wasn't afraid because he had his God. The Lord delivered him because he knew his God. Whew. Man, that wasn't planned either, but it's good. Oh, man, it is. It is. So the thing that I want to get on to right now is, what kind of prayer was Daniel praying? What kind of prayer was Daniel praying that the angel of the Lord, the Christ himself even, would say, "I have come because of your words"? Let's back up to chapter 9 of Daniel. Verse 17, it says, "Now therefore, O God, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name." So in that prayer, you see him setting his heart to understand what's going on. You see him humbling himself. It's not by our own righteousness, right? It's not by what I deserve. It's not by anything that I've done. But it's because of your name's sake. Lord, you do it. It's for your glory. You do it. Lord, that's what we want to see. He humbled himself. Let's take that just a second deeper. Isaiah 37. Not only was he saying, the way I know he was setting his mind to understand, right? It's because he was praying from his understanding of the word as this was going on. There's many scriptures that were just in that passage. That prayer that Jesus responded to, right? There's many scriptures in that, that Daniel was praying. From his understanding, he took them not only in like word for word, but he took them and said, okay, now I understand that's what's going on in that nation at that moment. Lord, I see a similar situation going on here. God, I'm going to pray this same thing. I'm going to pray for this same thing to be released in our time. In Isaiah 37, verse 17, it says, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. He understands that there was oppression of the people of God, and that there was mocking going on of the name of the Lord. And then he says, okay, this is what was prayed. This is what Hezekiah prayed. And it's going to be the same prayer. I'm going to take this same prayer. And because I see the Lord on it, I see power on it, and it's in your word. So I'm going to pray your word over my situation right now. Right? Do you see this? These same words being used. These same words being used. He wasn't just coming up. Ooh, this thing's poking me in the ear. Help it, Lord. So these same words coming up. He's using these same words to interact with God, to interact with Jesus. Huh. And when that's what scholars say the words were that Jesus responded to weren't because of Daniel's great understanding, weren't because of the way that he manipulated things or was able to, the wisdom that he had. No, it was because he saw the value in the word of God and he spoke out the words from Isaiah. As he spoke out the words from Isaiah, that's why the angel of the Lord then said to him, I have come because of your words. These words that were written hundreds of years before, that you've been praying around 400 years before. These words were written out, and you have made them a part of your prayer, right? So you see that? Do you guys see Daniel doing this? Just quickly, setting our hearts to understand, to know, is fearing God, that God is worthy and he is the one that we need to seek to understand. He is the one that we're praying for his will to be done, right? As we fear the Lord, there's a wonderful, wonderful fast food restaurant called Cookout. I don't know if you guys have heard of it before. Whew, glory. It's like getting a burger from a cookout. It really is. It tastes just like it. It's wonderful, right? They're a Christian business. Yeah, and on their cup, they have the scripture reference to Proverbs 1:7. Do you know what that scripture is? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Whew. What a powerful verse to put on a cup. Everybody that's drinking out of it. Wisdom or am I a fool? Wisdom or am I a fool, right? Lord, we just ask that you would release wisdom on everybody that's drinking a cup from Cookout right now. Let them look up this scripture and let their hearts be offended so much that they have to turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Yes. So, we have to have this reverential fear of the Lord. You know, there's so much throughout scripture. That's something I encourage you to go back and study. You know, a quick reference to that, the same reference that I was talking about in the book of Revelation. In chapter 4, you start to see the angels around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? Whew! And then they respond, the 24 elders then hear that song, and then they respond, and they say, worthy is he to receive. Worthy is he. And they start taking off their crowns and laying down at the feet of Jesus. Worthy is this one. He's so much more worthy. I see what you're saying, angels. I see what you're saying. And I'm responding, saying, worthy is he. And then more and more responses are taking place, right? Man, Those angels are singing out of revelation, out of understanding. In Isaiah chapter 6, you see them singing the same song. 835 years. They're still singing the same song in the book of Revelation. Whew! Man. Still singing out that same song. Still singing out that same song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Singing out this song. They have that reverence. They know who he is. And this humility, there's a scripture I was taught to memorize it by my father-in-law. Wonderful, wonderful man. But Micah 6:8. But what does the Lord require of you, O man, but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? That's our requirement, is to do justice, to love kindness, walk humbly with our God. Part of that humility is supplication and prayer. Right? Does that make sense? There's an action to that. There's an action of our humility. It's saying, Lord, we need you. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it on my own. Come on. So have I laid a little bit of a ground for prayer? Yes. Now I want to give you just a couple practical takeaways, and then we'll be done for the day, right? I enjoy this stuff. You guys are awesome. That was a race, a marathon race, I feel like. Come on. What is it? Yes. Go back and listen to the recording if you need. Come on, pull it apart. Be a Berean. Test it. See if it's approved. Study it. Pull it apart. Yeah. Okay, so some practicals. We saw the value in challenging people to pray on a daily basis in response to seeing Daniel's prayer life. You can see it in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where you see him saying, this is something that I've already have as part of my life. It's this ritual that he already had, this rhythm that he already had going on in his life. And one of the things that we challenge people to do is to join the Moravian Call to Prayer. Moravian Call to Prayer is, we can find it on our website, wvprayer.com. You can sign up. It's taking an hour a day unto the Lord, not showing up at a church, not showing up at a certain place, but saying, Lord, I'm giving you an hour a day. Right? Does that make sense? I'm giving you an hour a day of devotion. August 27th, we launched this. Whenever we launched it, we had 24-hour coverage across the state of West Virginia. And some of the regions, we have the state broke down into 10 regions. Some of the regions had 24-hour coverage. So we're still trying to build 24-hour coverage in all of the regions. But part of this is just developing a rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of prayer in our lives. We also, like I said, are doing that time at noon that people can join in with and join with us through social media. But I encourage you, have that daily devotion time as Daniel had, right? Whenever you see that moment of encounter, it was from that daily time. It wasn't just from like, oh, I prayed one time. Daniel wasn't a man that just prayed one time, then all these things happened. He wasn't a man that just prayed whenever things were hard. He was a man that made it part of his life. It was part of the rhythm of his life. So let's create that rhythm in our life. And many would then say, okay, how do you pray every day for an hour? I mean, what does that even mean? Like, I've sat down to pray. Man, whenever I first started all this, I would sit down. It was 2009. I had been saved for like 6 months, and then somebody told me about prayer and that I needed to do it. And I was like, okay, yeah. And I sat down in my room, and I was like, Lord, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to pray for like 3 hours. I've got plenty of time. And I sat down there and I started praying. And I was like, man, that was so good. That had to have been at least an hour. 5 minutes? Man, that's everything I knew. Right? Ever been there before? Whew. Too many times. So what do you do? On our page, right under the Moravian Call to Prayer, I've got a document that I've made. It's a PDF with a bunch of scriptures and a bunch of, like, little tips on how to be able to navigate a time of prayer. And basically, that's just have a plan and be able to run through that plan. And each day, have a plan for that time. Not necessarily that you have to write it up every day. Set up what Mondays you pray for. Set up what Tuesdays you pray for. So on, so on. And then every Monday, you pray for the same thing, but you've got this, right? Does that make sense? So part of having a plan, in the midst of having a plan, what time is it? Okay. A lot of times after this, I will have people do practical stuff and actually put an action step to it. But I think I've gone a little bit long. So I'll just let you guys find it on the page. How many of you want me to go on? Okay. There's enough hands. If you need to leave, you are dismissed and you're okay to leave. But we're not going to be real long on this. And we're going to just be practical, okay? So if you would, I'm just going to give you an example of praying this daily prayer and finding some scriptures. There's scriptures all throughout the Word, right? Praying the Word, just as Daniel prayed. Take the Word. It's so much better than what I can creatively come up with myself. Not that I won't ever use my own things. Daniel prayed from his understanding of the Word, which you have to couple it with your understanding, your revelation that you have, right? It's not just praying a scripture verbatim, but it's praying the scripture and with your own understanding, right? Okay, so let's open up to Ephesians 1. This is a great verse, by the way, great passage. It marked all over worship today. It was one of the key verses that I was thinking of whenever we were worshiping today. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, verse 17. And I'll just read it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might? That He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you guys can keep on going if you want, but that first, you know, the first couple verses, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of Him. Like, you could just take that little section and pray. I'm going to give you some words real quick. There's a few words that you can use to help cultivate your thought whenever you have nothing else, like you don't know what else to do, right? Repeat, rephrase, reference. Repeat, rephrase, reference. What does that mean? Repeat. Sometimes you can just take this scripture. Sometimes they're just good enough to where you can just say, God, I just pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him. Lord Jesus, that You would give them this spirit of wisdom, revelation. Right? That's repeating it. That's repeating that scripture. Rephrasing it. God, this people we don't see, we don't understand. God, and it's by Your Spirit that brings us understanding. God, so we ask that your Spirit would come, that you would give us the Spirit of wisdom. Reveal to us the knowledge of who you are. Reveal to us, God, that we would be able to see, to know, to understand you, right? Rephrasing it. Is that making sense? And then reference, whenever you're praying this, Lord, and it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit that these things may take place. Lord, I'm bringing in other scriptures, right? You start bringing in other scriptures. But you take this scripture right here and you use this as a tool. And you start developing these tools that you have to pray over things, right? It's the word of God is what in scripture? In the armor? What is the word of God? Yes. That's two-edged sword, sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? Come on. But how many of us have taken care of our sword and have it stored up in us? You know, David said, I've treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? That's how he's able to not sin. It's by treasuring the word in his heart. The more word that he had, the less sin there was, right? Not only like memorized, but treasured. Yeah, yeah, there's a difference. So then taking it and saying, okay, I'm going to put this one in my heart. Ephesians 1:17, I'm going to have in my heart so I can pray. Because that was written to the believers. That wasn't written to the non-believer. That was written to the church of Ephesus. You know, so as he was praying over them, as Paul was praying over them, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation of the knowledge of him. Meaning, man, you guys need to see it more, right? You need to see more of him. There's so much more to be had. Don't settle with where you've been. You know, so whenever we pray for this church, you could take this passage and you could say, Lord, God, we just ask right now that this church would be led by the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of you. God, that your Spirit would come and strengthen us. That it would be by your strength and your strength alone. But, Lord, that you would also receive the inheritance that you have in the saints, that you have in this church. Right? There's an inheritance to be had in this church. In this church here. There's an inheritance in this city that this church is responsible to reap through prayers, through intercession. Prayer is the greater work, right? Yeah. So as you see that take place, you know, there's those three words, repeat, rephrase, reference. Here's another practical. Is three more words, wisdom, strength, and desire. These are good tools if you guys are able to remember them, awesome. If not, write them down because they're very useful. I use them almost every time I pray. Wisdom, strength, and desire. Lord, we ask for the wisdom. This is already praying for wisdom, right? The wisdom on what this even means. What does this scripture even mean? God, give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us understanding. Not saying that it has to always be that word. Use some other words that are like it. You know, so Father, I just ask you for the wisdom to be able to move forward in this reality. God, we ask you for strength, endurance, whenever sometimes it seems hard. Sometimes it seems hard to press in and do this. There's a cost to it, Lord. Give me strength to continue pressing. And that last one, desire. God, give me the willpower to do this. Sometimes I don't want to. Lord, sometimes I don't want to get up in the morning and pray. You know, no matter how many times I've done it, there's times whenever I don't want to get up and pray, but God, give me the desire. Let me love you. Let me want to do it more. God, draw my heart to you. Draw my heart to you. God, I ask you for it, that you would give me the desire to see what is the inheritance that you have in me today. What is the inheritance that you have in this church? And give us the desire to fulfill that desire, that inheritance that you have, right? Those practicals make sense? Just a couple that you can use? And let's just, I know I'm putting y'all on the spot, but if you got your Bibles, or just take a second, I want you guys to think of a scripture that you would like to pray over a person that's in this room. Right? Someone that's close to you. We're not going to take, 30 minutes for this. We're going to take 5 minutes, right? We're going to be done here in 5 minutes. We're going to take 5 minutes. We're going to look up a passage that we want to pray over someone in this room. And we're going to go to that person, and we're going to pray a passage over somebody. If any of those tools help you, repeating the scripture, rephrasing it, referencing something else to bring into it, do it. If you want to pray for wisdom, for strength, or desire over them, do it. But now you know that there is a necessity to do so. Now you know that there is a weight to doing this. And you see that the heavens move whenever you continuously do this. Yes, I want to see you do it in your own life, but there's something too practically getting up right now and doing it. I know it moves a lot of people out of their comfort zone. I remember sitting in a service like this where somebody challenged me to do it, and where they said, everybody's going to get up and they're going to pray over somebody. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. So I understand where you're at right now if you're thinking that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I got up that day. I went and prayed for somebody. It was a whole, 6 seconds, but I prayed for somebody, and it just opened up, and I started being able to do it more and more, more and more, more and more, and I started seeing people's lives change. Started seeing other people's lives change. Yeah. So I'm going to play guitar, and you guys are able to go around the room and pray a scripture out over someone. Take a second, ask the Lord, what do you want me to pray for this person? What do you want me to do? And let's just take a practical step right now and do this. Everybody okay? Come on. Let's take 5 minutes and do this, all right?